In Parshas Kedoshim, there's a lot of attention is paid by Rishonim to what the word Kedoshim actually means. Kedoshim to you should be holy. What does it mean exactly to be holy? Novel Parshas Torah. You know, what exactly is the content of the message of Kedoshim to you? But a little bit less attention seems to be paid to the context of the message of Kedoshim to you. Rashi writes, Melamed Shenemra Parshazu Bahakel. That the entire Jewish people had to be together, gathered together to hear this message, because Rov Gufei Torah Tluyin Ba, so many critical elements of the Torah depend on this message of Kedoshim to you. All of Torah is for the entire Jewish people, but the message to become Kedoshim couldn't be done in a way where it's, you know, by word of mouth, tell a few people here, a few people there. No, this message had to be given to the entirety of the Jewish people. It had to be done in a large group. Now, what is it about the command of Kedoshim to you that it had to be given to masses all at one time? Second, Hashem doesn't just tell us to be holy, but Hashem also explains why we should be holy. Why should you be holy? Ki kadosh ani, because I'm holy, God says. And the Medrash has this startling comment. Oh, yachol kamoni, you might think you should be holy just like me. Tamalomar ki kadosh ani. That's why he says, ki kadosh ani, kedushasi lemalem kedushaschem. You can't be God. What's the hava amina? A person would think that he has to, his kedusha should be the equivalent of the Kiddusha of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yachal? Who's Yachal? Who thought that? Who thought literally Kamoni? You need to say Kiddush Ani, Kiddushasi, Lamalim, Kiddush. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kiddusha is Lamalim, Kiddusha Sein. Very difficult to understand in what way we would even have a Havamina to think that we could be holy like Hashem. And the third issue, each of the, you know, when we talk about the Geula, the character most associated, the human being most associated with leading Geulas Mitzrayim, was obviously Moshe Rabbeinu. But there was some teamwork involved. You know, a good amount of teamwork involved. In fact, there was a triumvirate of leadership within one family. You have Moshe Rabbeinu, you have Aaron HaKohen, and you have Miriam. And each of them caused us to merit a very special blessing without which we would have had a very difficult time surviving. Miriam's zuchus brought us the be'er, Moshe's zuchus brought us the man, and Aaron's zuchus brought us the anane akava. Now one would imagine that each figure in some way is connected to the bracha that they brought. That which they represent, and that which they accomplish, and that which they do, and that which they stood for is somehow connected to the bracha that Klal Yisrael got because of them. I just want to focus on Aaron. He's an Oev Shalom V'Rodei Shalom. That's what he was. That's what he stood for. That's what he brought about in Klal Yisrael. Thank you so much. He's an Oev Shalom V'Rodei Shalom. Thank you. So, how does that relate to Hanani HaKavod? Clouds of glory because he's an Oev Shalom V'Rodei Shalom. So again, three questions. Why does the message of Kedoshim to you have to be given to the entirety of Klal Yisrael together? Second, what's the Hava Mina, that Yachal Kamoni, that we should be Kedosh like Hashem? And third, what's the connection between the Anani HaKavod and the unique personality of Aaron HaKohen? So, we often have a fundamental misunderstanding of what Kedusha actually means. You know, we rightfully point to Rashi, defines Kedusha in multiple contexts as Prisha. But we don't know what Prisha really means. Be Porish from what? Rashi is not suggesting, nor is anyone suggesting, that Kedusha is achieved by being Porish, by a person living all alone, separated from everybody else. That's not what Prisha means. That a person should find a secluded mountaintop and meditate and be all alone and not interact. That's not Prisha. Prisha means Prisha from Averos, from Arayos, from Tuma, not from other people. Not only does Kedusha not mean that one should be separated from other people? In fact, Kedusha can only be achieved when one is connected to other people. To really achieve that little spark of the divine, that element of Kedusha, a person needs to be connected to a group. And I think there are four reasons for this. First of all, if you accept the Ramban's definition of Kedusha as being Mekadesh Atzmecha B'Mutulach, be Mekadesh yourself, how? By even refraining from those things that are technically, strictly speaking, permissible. So what does it mean? The idea of Kedusha is don't be a novel Bereshis HaTorah. Avoid self-indulgence. Just because the blue and white cookie comes as a whole cookie doesn't mean you have to eat the whole thing. You could cut the calories in half by cutting the cookie in half. Right? You could indulge a little bit without indulging entirely. That's a certain level of Kedusha, avoiding self-indulgence. A person is best equipped to avoid self-indulgence when his primary concern is not about himself, but is about other people. When you first think about others and not about yourself, so then you're not going to indulge yourself, because that's not your modus operandi. That's not your goal in life. It's not what you set out to do. Second, in a very, very similar vein, the opposite of self-aggrandizement, the opposite of gluttonous self-gratification, is to be nosei ba'olim chavera. Not only do we try not to indulge ourselves with excessive pleasure, but we take upon ourselves the suffering of other people. That when other people go through difficult times, we feel it too. When we see members of Klal Yisrael suffering through personal tragedies, communal tragedies, challenges that we wish people wouldn't have to go through, we feel that sense of suffering. That's the opposite of gluttonous self-gratification. That, because why? What's gluttonous self-gratification? I want more pleasure for myself. And what's this? This is, not only am I having my own sorrows, I'm taking upon myself everyone else's tzara. I lose sleep about with other people's sorrows. And that's Kedusha. That's the opposite of self-indulgence. Taking upon ourselves the sorrows of others. And then third, the reason Kedusha can only be achieved in a group is that there's a certain energy. It's hard to even describe. That can be achieved when a group of people gets together, when a large group gets together, and the individuals just sort of meld into one big mesh of humanity. I don't know if you remember, a few years ago there was a... I'm sure you remember the Boston Marathon bombing, right? A couple of years ago. So there was a Boston Bruins game shortly after that. And I think it was the first major sporting event in Boston after the Boston Marathon. And before the game, like they do at every sporting event, they sang the national anthem. And the person started to sing the national anthem. And 20,000 people in the stadium started singing along. It was like one of those like goosebump-inducing moments. And everyone was singing along with him. And what did he do? This is what made it legendary. It was probably got millions of hits on YouTube. It made it legendary. What did he do when 20,000 people started singing along with him? He put down the mic and sang without a mic. Why? Because it's not about me. I can sing and I can do the best job in the world. No one's ever going to remember the national anthem. There's a national anthem before every single game. When you get 20,000 people in it together, my voice doesn't matter as an individual. The greatest madriga I can achieve is to have my voice blend in with 20,000 others. There's a certain energy that can be achieved when we're not looking after ourselves, when we're looking at the group that we call Klal Yisrael. And we become part of that large voice of Klal Yisrael. And then the fourth reason that Kedusha is best achieved in a group is that joining with a klal allows a person to be kadosh in a way that only God normally could be Kadosh. See, what's unique about God's Kedusha is not only the level of the Kedusha, but the permanence of it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Haya, Hove, V'Yihyeh, always was, is, and will be. He is eternal. We're here for, you know, Yimei Shnos of Shaladam, Shivim Shana, Shmona Begvuros, I don't know, it's 90 maybe, 100, 120. You know what a historian calls 120 years? Calls it a blip on the screen. It's a dot in history. It's a dot on a timeline. And if we live 120 years to the max, doing our best, but it's about us, it's about ourselves, we're a dot. In order to achieve a Kedusha that's going to be everlasting, that's going to be eternal, we need to attach to the eternal. And Klal Yisrael never dies. Klal Yisrael lasts forever. So if we define ourselves not as an individual, but we see ourselves as part of an Am Kadosh, a link in the chain that represents the nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we're part of something eternal. That is Kedusha. A number of years ago, one of the members of our shul made Aliyah, and he each year on Yom HaTzmud tries to send me some thoughts that he has as he's pondering his family's life change of going to Israel, which was not an easy decision, as it isn't for anybody. And he wrote something so beautiful that really highlights this point. He wrote to me in an email a couple of years ago. He writes, "There's a very real comfort that comes from just being here. A few sparks gathered back to their source.
Everyone please head to the cafeteria. Everyone please head to the cafeteria.
I live in a city named after a place mentioned in Sefer Yehoshua that must have been somewhere near here based on the description and the proximity to Yerushalayim. We spend time off at a natural spring that feeds the Dead Sea just south of the river that Bnei Yisrael crossed on their way to take the land promised to their fathers at the command of God Himself." Amazing thing. Describing is when you're there, you're on the stage of Jewish history. You're actually living. You know, someone told me last week, I spoke in shul about the Seir La'Azazel. Someone said, yeah, you can go to a place called Azazel. And they did excavations there and you find goat bones all over the place. Yeah. It's real. It's not a story you read about in a book somewhere. You're walking in the footsteps of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's not, you know, you go to Philadelphia and it's our founding fathers were here. This is our heritage. This is Tanakh. This is our Torah. This is our connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he continues, "If I'm having difficult times or if I have a reason to praise God, the Kotel is just a short drive away. This is unquestionably my country, my people, my heritage, my future, and that of my children. It's a way of grabbing on to eternity. When we grab on to Klal Yisrael, we grab on to Knesset Yisrael, we grab on to the future of Klal Yisrael. We invest in the future of Klal Yisrael. We're becoming part of something that's kadosh on a level that we could never achieve as individuals." And someone asked me, I'm veering from his email here, I'll get back to it in a second, but someone asked me recently about making Aliyah. You know, they're thinking about moving to Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be difficult for the children, difficult for them. Have to move to a smaller house, obviously. And you think it's cheaper, it's not cheaper, it's more expensive, and you know, the kids are going to have to deal with the adjustment. And the person said, but you know what? It's going to be, my life, the person said to me, is definitely going to be more challenging, more difficult. I have no doubt about it. Life is easy for me here, things are going well. My children at first will have more difficulty, probably in a few years from now they'll thank me. But he said, my grandchildren, they're gonna hail me as a hero. Because we know the end of the story of the Jews in Gullus. It's happened. No Gullus has ever ended well. Hasn't happened yet. And those who had the foresight to get out when they could, those who had the foresight to get to Eretz Yisrael, to be part of, you know, what Rav Aaron Lichtenstein would refer to as the playing field of the future of the Jewish people. If grandchildren will hail him as a hero. If you keep the short view, you know, you look at your 70 years on earth, 80 years on earth, 120 years on earth, yeah, you can only achieve so much. But you take that long view, and you see what it means, l'dorei doros, then you could achieve a lot more. And he writes, he continues in the email, and what of the challenges? What about East Jerusalem right across the valley from me and the dome that sits on Har Habayis that I see every day to and from work not knowing what to feel? What about the sirens and the bomb shelters that persist even in our day? What about the tremendous gap between the current cultural realities and the dream of Malchus Beis David restored and the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt? There are many, many answers that can be proposed to explain or help to deal with the gap, but to me the simplest is patience. It took hundreds of years from the crossing of the Yarden until the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash. Avram died with a promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu of great progeny and a beautiful land, but nothing to show for it except for one son to follow in his path and ownership of a burial plot. He was told you can have stars in the sky, the sand of the sea, of the shore. You can have, it's going to be amazing. And you can have all this land, Orcha Rachba, the whole land. And when he dies, what did he have? Yitzchak. Well, where's the sand? Where's the stars? What do you have? He had a place to bury his wife and himself. Where's this great land? Where's everything else? Because the promise wasn't during your lifetime. The promise wasn't right now. The promise was much bigger than any one person can be. Much longer lasting than any one person can be. Patience. The realization of the greatest aspirations of mankind are worth it. But with this slow process of redemption, I believe there's a hidden gift from God. The same gift He grants to us every day with the mitzvahs. And that's the opportunity to participate in the process. In a world controlled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for reasons that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can understand, where even our greatest efforts can yield so little that's lasting, what a tremendous gift, what a tremendous honor to be able to play a role in His magnificent plan. And of course, we're all part of the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some way or another, but as he writes over here, it's visible here. We see it. We understand it. We know that we're part of something so much bigger than us. If you look past the headlines, you see it unfolding in front of your very eyes. And that means something. The ability to participate in the process. I mentioned Rav Aaron Lichtenstein before, when he gave his final speech in Yeshiva University before making Aliyah, and he explained, look, you know, the kasha that everyone was asking, and that especially his father-in-law was asking, was, you're being set up to be the next leading Rosh HaYeshiva of the most important modern Orthodox institution in all of Chutz Laretz. In all of the diaspora, you're going to be the leader of modern Orthodox Jewry in the United States of America, and the world over, probably. And you're giving it up, what, for a mountaintop somewhere in Israel? Where is it? What's your influence going to be over there? What are you going to be able to accomplish over there? And he explained that, you know, if you go to a sporting event, lahavdil. I just heard Rabbi Targum in a hesped said, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein never used the word lahavdil, because he felt that anything that can help us understand Torah is automatically, you don't have to say lahavdil, but whatever. You go to the sporting event, lahavdil. So, I'll tell you, you've met Alan Weingrad? Why is he such an impressive speaker to high school students? We bring him Yeshiva Shabbaton, and he's so impressive. I mean, we have every Friday, Joel Mail is here, and he's got a World Series ring also. Right? He was associated with a couple of, I think, maybe one, I don't know. He was associated with a couple of World Championship teams. Why is Weingrad more impressive? Is he smarter? Why is he so impressive? The answer is obvious. One thing to be in the front office, It's one thing to be, you know, box seats. Oh, I was there. I was there at the, you know, 1986 when the Mets clinched the, you know, when they won the World Series. I was there. But you know what's more impressive? When you were on the team. You know, the guy didn't even play in the Super Bowl, I don't think. But he was on the team. He was in uniform. If you're actually on the team, that means something. So here in Chutz La'aretz, yeah, we watch Jewish history and destiny unfolding from afar. You know, and with modern technology, we have good seats. We're able to see pretty clearly. But we're not suited up. We're not the 25th man on the bench. We're not on the team. And now the answers to our questions that we began with, I think, become fairly obvious. The need to gather all the people in order to teach them Kedoshim Tiyu is because you can't become Kadosh on your own. It's not only that everyone needs to hear this message, it's that the message can only be understood with the demonstration of how to do Kedusha. Kedusha is not only being pious in your own life. It's not moving to a mountaintop and meditating and learning and praying. Kedusha has to be in the masses, in the context of a group. The Hava Amina, Yachol Kamoni, is that, you know, we view HaKadosh Baruch Hu as separate, that he's so separate from us. So we might have thought that we achieve Kedusha in a similar way, not that we could be Kadosh like Hashem, but in a similar way, to separate ourselves, remove ourselves, but we're reminded, no, that such a separation runs counter to how a human being achieves Kedusha. And Aaron's connection to the Anani HaKavod may very well relate to the function of Anani HaKavod. When our enemies tried to hurt us and the clouds would protect us from those arrows, the Anani HaKavod were the protection. They were the comfort. Where do we find our comfort, our protection, when our enemies would want to attack us? It's connecting to that Midah of Aaron, the Oev Shalom Verodev Shalom. It's by being part of something bigger. Because no individual is promised protection. But if we're not defined as individuals, we're defined as Knesset Yisrael. Knesset Yisrael is promised protection. Knesset Yisrael is guaranteed to continue to exist. So we intuitively do this as a reaction to being attacked. Whenever Klal Yisrael says, oh, that's when we come together. If only we learn to do it to preempt being attacked. That would be the true Midah of Aaron HaKohen. That would bring the true Anani HaKavod and allow us to connect to Klal Yisrael, to connect to Eretz Yisrael, to connect to the future of the Jewish people in a way that we all hope to.